Hey, 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 everybody, and welcome to the weekly Nintendo News Roundup Live, where every Friday the All-In Crew breaks down the week in Nintendo news. Good to see everybody. Hope everybody is well. It, you know, was a pretty good week. Fulia's here. Hello, friends. Hi, Fulia.
Hello!
Good to see you, Fulia.
Yeah, hope everybody's having fun. First time, this is our first time broadcasting through Twitter. We're on YouTube, but we're also broadcasting through Twitter. So if you're joining us via the X, welcome.
Yeah. Yeah, we should. We're live on YouTube and Twitter, so that's kind of cool. figured that out, so that works. Pretty neat. So I hope everybody's doing well. We, you know, it's been a big week. We had a Nintendo Direct, of course, this week, so we're going to break down everything from that tonight, and that really is kind of the bulk of the show tonight. But before we get into it...
That will take plenty of our time.
It will.
Before we get into it, ladies and gentlemen, if you can give us just a moment, we are going to produce our own 3-minute all-in partner direct as we shout out our patrons.
Nice. Yeah, our partners and our friends and supporters at patreon.com/ All In Podcast. Three
we
tiers
directly
of
appreciate.
Yeah, that's true. We need a shout out to Golden Banana Bunch. Thank you to Rob Yapel, Sean O'Baggins, Ashton, Tim A, aka Neo Prime 33, aka Nintendo Dad Number 4, Phelan Ward, Bill Tucker, Marcus O'Neill, Liam D, Gamer Jason, Andrew Wilkins, Foolish Fuji, who's in the chat right now, Alan #, Look to the Cookie, Solo, and SAZ. Big thanks to our Golden Banana Bunch. You can get a 7-day free trial to that tier on Patreon and get a bunch of exclusive content, see what all the fuss is about for yourself. But moving into our Triforce tier, you think Josh Vaughn, the godfather of Tingle Love Tuesday, John Datfast Cummins of the Retro Logic Podcast, as well as the On Topic Retro Podcast, the Globetrotting Jet Setting Nintendo Hub and Sparky of the Nintendo Hub right here on YouTube, Adam Caparello of the Retro Groove Podcast, Shy Guy, the other half of our Shy Guy Mod Squad, thank you, Shy Guy, Daniel Hinojosa, Dan and Luma, Bowza, the Keeper of the Hugs, and the Legend himself.
Well, that'll just about wrap up the all-in partner direct. But before we go, we have one last patron to shout out. Uncle Randy.
Uncle Randy's the one more thing.
He's the OMT of all-in.
Big thanks to our patrons. We appreciate y'all and your support very much. You can also support the show by picking up some merch at bit.ly/allinmerch. If you watch us on YouTube for these news roundups, like, comment, subscribe, and all that fun stuff is very helpful. If you listen on the audio feeds, your 5-star review on your podcatcher of choice is very helpful as well. Shout-outs to Super Nintendad, who says, do I spy those silly the Dempa men in the thumbnail? No. That's the protagonist of Pocket Card Jockey in the thumbnail. Unfortunately, the Denpa Men is not coming to America as much as I would like it to be. But that probably segues us pretty well into the direct, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's basically the thing that happened this week. So if we're going to talk about anything, let's talk about that. So, I mean, let's talk about it, Seth.
Yeah, let's talk about the direct. I got it pulled up here on stream. Do you want to just go like point by point here and kind of stop on these things and talk about them?
Well, I mean, I guess because the first thing they showed off in this Nintendo Direct, specifically Nintendo Direct Partner Showcase, was, of course, the first of the Xbox games coming to Nintendo's platform. This has been leaked to heck and back. We knew this was coming, but sure enough, the very first thing we saw here at this partner showcase was indeed official confirmation that, as you can see right there, Grounded is indeed coming to Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, at a stunning 240p on Nintendo Switch. It's looking kind of rough, to be honest. You know, from what I hear, I've not played this game. This is from Obsidian. This is kind of like a first-person survival kind of thing. I hear the game itself is great, and it is going to have like full crossplay support and everything. So, I mean, as long as it like is running well, I think Switch fans are kind of used to the games looking worse.
I was about to say, us people on the Nintendo Switch, we're not necessarily known for being graphics snobs. However, you know, you just... It can sometimes indicate a game that really needs some optimization patches. I really hope that's not the case with this title.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I would be interested in playing it, but it's the kind of thing. I mean, it's Xbox's strategy here, right? It's like, yeah, mm-hmm. if you want to play it on Switch, it's there, and you can play it on Switch, and you can pay for it on Switch, or you could get it on Game Pass, where it's going to look better, run better, and be included in the subscription you have. So, like, that honestly is just, like, part and parcel of their strategy. But I'll be honest with you, like, we kind of knew when they last week kind of talked about the four games that were coming to other platforms. I did not expect Grounded to be one of the ones that we saw here. I really thought that the two we would see here would be Hi-Fi Rush and Pentiment. And we see Pentiment later on in the show, but Grounded is not the one I thought we would see.
Yeah, especially considering that we had already seen Nintendo, you know, Hi-Fi Rush stuff out in the ether. That, I mean, you can't even call it a leak at that point. It's basically just unofficially confirmed. So there wasn't, we didn't really feel like there was any point not to see Hi-Fi Rush here. That being said, we didn't see Hi-Fi Rush here. And I think for a lot of people, that was one of the biggest surprises of this partner showcase. We did, as you say, we'll see Pentiment a little on later. Weirdly, within kind of like that, right before the end of the direct montage, despite the fact that it's an Xbox game studio that got ridiculously well reviewed, it has the potential to reach a very large audience here and is apparently an incredibly quality game. I was a little surprised that Nintendo just kind of tucked it into a montage, but we can talk more about that later. But regardless, yeah, of the four games that Phil Spencer officially confirmed last week at Xbox's little podcast to be coming to other consoles, I would not have necessarily put money on these being the two shown off today or this week.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, in any case, Grounded is coming April 16th to Switch. So that's right around the corner at this point. I don't know what the price is going to be on it. But, you know, it is coming and it's going to have full crossplay. Another thing we should, as long as we're talking about this, another thing that we should notate is that Hi-Fi Rush and Sea of Thieves have been confirmed to be coming to PlayStation, but not Switch, at least at this time. I mean, it's probably, if you're reading between the lines, it's probably a situation where they either want to spend more time optimizing those games for Switch, or they might want to hold off until Switch 2, where they will run better. So, you know, I imagine that's what's happening there. I do expect that both of those games will still come to Nintendo hardware.
Yeah, a point that you've made before, though, and one that I agree with, like, Sea of Thieves can run on Switch.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that shouldn't have an issue running on Switch. So they could be waiting for Switch 2, but regardless, we don't have any official news on that. So that's really all we have to go off of at this point, unfortunately. But, I mean, I'm not going to necessarily sit here and say that they specifically dropped PlayStation 5 news about Hi-Fi Rush and about Sea of Thieves just shortly after the Partner Direct came out, specifically just to try to steal a little bit of thunder from it. I'm not going to sit here and say that. But it is really weird that it happened exactly like an hour and a half after the Direct happened.
Ah, I think it's just...
It was a big day.
It was. I think it's just as simple as like they sent out those press releases. They confirmed all that, especially since Hi-Fi Rush is coming out in like a couple weeks. So, I mean, it makes sense to go ahead and get that announced. I mean, they wanted to go ahead and get that stuff out there. I think April 30th is Sea of Thieves. So like all of these games are imminent. So
yeah.
they had to get them announced one way or another. I think they just kind of dropped it all at once. I wouldn't read into that too much.
Yeah, this one's coming out April 16th. See if they're, Hi-Fi Rush, April 30th. I didn't expect all of these games to be coming out within the next couple of months, you know, before official confirmation was even made this week. But there you have it.
Yeah. So we got that. Grounded was how they started the show. The next game here is a sequel to that, like, Ender Lilies game, which I never played. I've always seen it. Like, I've always seen it on the eShop and stuff. This one's called Ender Magnolia. Mm-hmm. And these, I guess, are, like, kind of these, like, dark Metroidvania sort of RPG things. And I don't know. It's not necessarily on my radar. I don't know that this trailer did anything to, like, sell me on it. But I think it looks neat, you know, for what it is.
They spent a weirdly long time on this game, and it still didn't make like a huge impact. Honestly, I thought the whole first half of the partner showcase was admittedly a little kind of mid. I didn't start to get like really involuntarily spasmatic until the second half. There were certainly some games here in the first half I was excited about, but I don't know, Grounded seemed like a weird way to start. And then this game following up felt like it gave the partner direct at the beginning this kind of weird, almost blasé tone, in my opinion. But yeah, they spent several minutes showing off this new Ender Lilies game, and it doesn't look bad necessarily. I just, there was some way that the trailer was created that just didn't really grab me.
Well, I mean, that's the thing with these, and I think it's especially exacerbated with partner showcases. I think that, like, you know, like, these things are so subjective. Like, there's somebody out there freaked out about
Ender Magnolia, well, I'm sure.
Right?
I'm sure.
And like, in terms of, like, the scale of announcements, opening it up with Grounded is about as big a deal as anything in here. It's an Xbox Game Studios game coming to Switch. So, I mean, I get the logic, but, like, neither one of these two got me necessarily. Mm-hmm. Like, they didn't appeal to me specifically, but I think it looks fine. Another thing that always annoys me with these is, like, whenever we get, like, a partner showcase or the February Direct in general, they'll be like, oh, we're highlighting games in the first half of 2024.
Yep.
And then, like, they come into it with these like, vague dates, or, like, there's a game later that was dated for October. It's been pushed, like, twice now, and I'm like, what happened to the first half of 2024, man? So, yeah, for the second game in this showcase to have, like, a vague 2024 date, kind of annoying. But
yeah. Well, I mean, there were several games in the showcase that kind of had vague 2024 dates, and, I mean, I get that we're going to get a September Direct in some form or fashion, maybe another partner showcase, maybe something else. But the fact that they specifically were talking about the first half of 2024, and by the end of it, it didn't really feel like a Direct that was focused on the first half of 2024. There's some really high profile games coming out before the end of June, but there's, I would like to go back and see at the end of the year how many of the games shown off here actually made it to the first half of 2024. I mean, but ultimately that would just be kind of nitpicking and feel like it'd be a little mean. But at the end of the day, I agree with you. Ender Magnolia is, yeah, it's okay. I'm sure whoever is excited for it is really looking forward to the game, and I hope it's good when it comes out. I may check it out depending on what we learn between now and its release. But based on this was the announcement trailer of this game, correct?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so as of right now, especially considering everything else that we saw here, it was a game I actually had to remember. I had to be reminded was here. But, I mean, if you're looking forward to it, it does. But if you're looking forward to it, more power to you.
Yeah. Now, the next thing is something I'm actually quite excited about. The new game from the studio Furniture and Mattress that was created, I think around this time last year. This is made up of Carto devs, for those who played the puzzle game Carto. The art's done by David Hellman, who did the art for Braid. And they're calling this a role-puzzling adventure. It's kind of like this sliding tile game done as a, like, RPG, and I think it looks really cool. It's called a Ranger.
Yeah. So it's kind of like those little sliding tile puzzles that you occasionally see within puzzle games, or if you've ever played one kind of IRL, but it taken basically to the nth degree in this regard. And you know, outside of those sliding tile puzzles, here it looks like when you slide the tiles around, you affect everything within, you know, horizontally or vertically, depending on which way you move, so much so that you're even looping stuff back around the screen. So I will be interested to see kind of how they use it. It looks like it's going to be a very unique puzzle concept. So we'll see how mind-bending this game can get. I see a lot of potential for creativity here.
Yeah, the world moves when you move is kind of the conceit of this one. This is supposed to be coming out in the spring, so presumably in the first half of the year, we'll see. I think it looks really neat. I'm a huge fan of David Hellman. I've loved all of his stuff that he's done, including Braid. And I love his art, and I'm just excited to see like a new thing from this from these people. And yeah, I don't know. This was the first thing where I was like, oh, like I didn't expect to see their new game this soon, and I didn't expect to see, you know, that it is, you know, so far along clearly. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Arranger, a role puzzling adventure coming yeah. this year.
We'll probably see it later on this year, like a Wholesome Direct or a partner, an Indie World Showcase or something like that. But it looks pretty cool. Kind of gives me Paper Trail vibes a little bit. And that's a game I'm really looking forward to. So, yeah, we'll see what Arranger looks like when it releases.
Looking forward to it. The next thing, there's a demo for Unicorn Overlord. It makes sense to shout this out. Unicorn Overlord's coming out in just a couple weeks at this point. It comes out, I think, March 8th. So there's a demo that Shadow dropped, a new trailer for the game. And, yeah, people are really are like way into the demo. People are like, I love the demo. I haven't played the demo myself yet, but people are very, very into the demo. So,
and if you're wondering why you can't find an overabundance of people playing the demo online, apparently a lot of copyright strikes came down from it.
Yeah, I guess so. So, yeah, but that's it. I mean, that was really what it is basically. And yeah, that's the purpose of these partner showcases. It's like, let's put this in front of people one last time, you know, yeah. And it does the typical, I'm pretty sure you can carry over your save from the demo too. So
yeah.
It does that whole typical thing. So pretty cool.
And it is really the next best thing to an actual Shadow drop. Hey, here's our game. By the way, you may not be able to get the entire package right now, but you can experience the game right now in some facsimile of it. So having, you know, even Shadow dropping a demo can be very valuable for releases. So I'm glad they did this.
Yeah, there are people who are very excited for this. I don't look at it and get super excited personally. It might be the kind of thing, I like VanillaWare games, but it might be the kind of thing where, like, if it goes on sale or something, I'll pick it up, but not right now. There's just too much to play right now, so I'll wait. But mm-hmm. We have that. That's a demo that Shadow dropped. The next thing was a complete surprise. A Switch remake of the 3DS, the first Monster Hunter Stories game from Capcom. I did not see this coming whatsoever. Pretty cool.
Honestly, you think about it, we really should have seen this coming, because in the past couple of years, Capcom has been going back, especially as the 3DS really winded down. Capcom has been going back to their old DS and 3DS titles and bringing them forward to modern consoles. We've seen multiple Ace Attorney trilogies at this point, all the different Mega Man collections at this point, Battle Network and Zero and ZX. So this is just yet another handheld Capcom game coming forward, kind of being saved from the eShop closure from this past year. So I mean, I'm here for it. Good on Capcom for, you know, continuing to preserve and update their games like this. I have a couple others that I would like to also see come down the pipeline, but that's a story for another day.
A lot of people prefer this one to the second one, and I never played the first one. I have the second one. The second one apparently sold like way better than Capcom expected it to. So I mm-hmm. guess this makes sense. Kind of, you know, get another Monster Hunter Stories thing out there, sell a few copies of that, and you know, it seems like a pretty robust remake. They fully voice acted the whole thing, and stuff like concept art that you can look at. It seems like a pretty fully featured remaster. So this is cool. This is a neat kind of pleasant surprise.
Yeah, we got this. We got the Mega Man collections. We got Ghost Trick Phantom Detective that got remade for the Nintendo Switch. Keep them coming.
Yeah. Speaking of remasters, the next thing that popped up, Disney Epic Mickey Rebrushed, which, I mean, look, man, I love this game. I had a great time with this on the Wii, so I'm happy to see it kind of coming back.
This was a huge surprise for me. I did initially think this was Epic Mickey 3, but, you know, getting further into, like, this obviously very was, like, the first time Mickey saw the brush, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, this is, like, the opening cutscene of the game. Yeah.
Yeah. I really didn't think that they would wind up doing this, especially kind of after what happened with Epic Mickey 2. But, I mean, it's just more evidence that remakes and re-releases are apparently incredibly attractive to big developers and big publishers right now. I'm excited for it. I think it's going to I do hope they integrate the motion controls in some way. I know they were kind of gimmicky on the Nintendo Wii, especially with like that paintbrush controller that you could get with the game. But I would actually play this game with motion controls, similarly to how it controlled on the Wii.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to play it with detached Joy-Con. I mean, yeah, they put that, like, the paintbrush is just a holder for the Wii remote. I thought the controls worked well on the original game. Like, I thought it was just pretty straightforward, like, point-and-click, you know, controls. And I really loved controlling the game on the Wii. And I thought it was super fun, unique idea, great bosses and, cool, yeah, like environments and
really,
I don't know.
Cool conceit, just classic, yeah, Disney stuff, even bringing back old rejected characters like Oswald. That was just such a cool idea back in Disney, like straight up digging into their basically like their island of misfit toys to bring a new adventure to a Nintendo platform. It was kind of weird, but I loved it.
Yeah, it's also got this kind of like cool, like dark sort of like rejected, yeah, sort of vibe. Like there's a shot that you see towards the end of the trailer of like Pete with like Automaton Captain Hook and stuff. And it's a cool game, man. And I'm excited that people are going to have a chance to play this one. We don't know when it's coming. This is THQ Nordic doing the port, and THQ Nordic is hit or miss for me. But as long as like, I think the game like looks good, I think they've done a good, yeah, job like visually. And it was funny because I saw a lot of people saying like, oh, I don't think it looks all that much better, but I've seen side by side comparisons. Dude, the game looks significantly improved.
Yes, it does.
So yeah.
My only thing is the ongoing trend of remakes getting called, insert game title here, re-hyphen verb that has something vaguely to do with the game.
Yeah, it's stupid, but whatever.
Whatever. But this is another game that got a vague 2024 date. We're not exactly sure when this is coming, so but we'll update you guys as we get more information.
Yeah, I mean, like a fourth of the way into this direct that's supposed to be focused on the first half of 2024, one thing has a hard date and it's Grounded. Like, come on now. The next thing, and this has been a bit of a controversial thing. The next thing was Shin Megami Tensei 5 Vengeance. Now, this, yeah, is effectively the Persona 5 Royal strategy, but done with Shin Megami Tensei 5. It's also coming to other platforms for the first time as well when this drops, but it's like a bunch of new content. From what they were trying to say, they were saying it like doubles the scope of the game, changes a bunch of stuff. I mean, this is adding a ton of new content. The problem is, just like with Persona 5 Royal, people don't have an upgrade path for like people who already own the game, so they're making you buy the game again. And you can't even transfer your save over to the new game or anything like that. They said, like, you can get, like, 3 spirits as a consolation, yeah, prize.
Yeah, you, yeah, can transfer this. You can transfer this incredibly diminutive amount of content that you've spent literally hundreds of hours cultivating in this RPG. You can transfer that over into the additional content that we're going to make you purchase the whole game again for. So, yeah, I can kind of see why people are mad. I've run into this situation a couple times with some games. I still remember back in like the Street Fighter 2 days where we had to buy the same game like 5 times on, yeah, the same system. It felt like, so I do understand why people are frustrated. This absolutely should have been released, like release it as its own thing. Absolutely. But this 1000% should have also been available as additional content for people who already own the game. There's no reason that it shouldn't have been.
I agree.
I don't know what Atlas was thinking there. All that's that's just explicitly consumer unfriendly for no reason.
Well, I mean, the reason that they're doing it is because people are buying it anyways. The reason they're doing it is because it worked for them with Persona. It's going to work for them here. If you have a problem with this, the best thing you could do is not buy it, yeah, and tell them that this is not okay. The thing about this is they are also like the exception rather than the rule. A lot of publishers understand that you shouldn't do that.
They don't play Chronicles.
Well, I mean, like, Sony is a really good example of a publisher who, when they put out like a definitive version of a game or whatever that has a ton of new content, they just let you pay an extra $10 or $20 or whatever and upgrade. There's no reason they couldn't have done that here. They just chose not to because, again, they're confident that their fans are going to buy it regardless. So it sucks. It's stupid. But regardless, it does have a date. It comes out June 21st. And again, it's coming to other platforms for the first time as well. So if you take issue with this business practice, don't support it. And if you don't care, then buy it. Who cares? You're a big person. You can spend your money how you want. Yeah. So, yeah, there's
I'm sure a lot of you listening to this podcast right now are all grown-ups with your own financial incentives and capabilities, but it's weird that Atlas is doing something like this. I still remember back in the PS2 days when they were specifically only producing like a handful of copies of every game to create forced scarcity. So seeing them create all this extra stuff just to get people to, it's just, whatever.
Yeah. The next section in the partner showcase, they titled Unite and Fight, because these are kind of like multiplayer-centric announcements. And there's actually quite a lot of multiplayer-centric announcements at the partner showcase, which was pretty cool and a welcome addition to me. The first thing they showed was actually a new sort of remastered collection port of Star Wars Battlefront 1 and 2 being done by Aspyr.
This
pretty
was
cool.
actual pop-off for me when I saw this. This was I played the code off of Battlefront 2 back when it was on the PlayStation 2. I put so much time into Battlefront 2 on the PlayStation 2. I cannot wait to get this, especially with all the extra. Like, these are, you know, PS2, GameCube era titles, and they're adding content to these games. They're adding new characters, new maps. We see Kit Fisto right there.
Shirtless Kit Fisto is really all you need.
Kit Fisto. I mean, exactly. I'm getting a tattoo of him tomorrow. But, I mean, just look at it. It looks so wonderfully early 2000s amazing. I can very easily see myself getting lost in this game for another couple hundred hours. It was just so perfectly fun. It was simple, but it controlled great, and it allowed you to play through, at the time, all of the most iconic battles in the history of Star Wars. Like, we see there, we see Hoth, we see all the different starfighter battles, and Naboo, and I played through the Gungan droid battle on Naboo probably literally 100 times in Battlefront 2, and I'll probably do it another 100 times in this collection. It was just fun. Just at the end of the day, they weren't necessarily trying to push the most polygons. They just said, hey, you guys love Star Wars? You want to fight with all these Star Wars characters together in a game that feels actually good to play? Here you go. Enjoy yourselves. And we did.
Yeah. It's got full 64 player online battles as well, which is neat. I mean, Aspyr is really just kind of like going through and remastering every old Star Wars
basically
game. So
basically, we got Dark Forces about to drop. We've had Jedi Knight, Jedi Academy. We've had KOTOR 1 and 2 all drop. They're basically just going through, as you said, all of the old Star Wars catalog and bringing them forward, which I don't hate. I'm here for it.
Nothing wrong with that. This one also comes out pretty soon. I don't know if they have the date here for it in the trailer, but it comes out like March, like 18th or 13th or something like that. It comes out soon. It comes out in like just a few weeks. So that is dropping pretty imminently. And yeah, I'm looking forward to it. The next thing they showed, South Park Snow Day, which is the sort of like, you know, this reminds me of, it reminds me of Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare.
I can see that.
Where it's like this third person sort of like snowball fight PvP game. I'll be real with y'all. This does absolutely nothing for me. Nothing. I could not be less interested in this.
I know South Park games have been doing well over the past, you know, several years or so, especially with Stick of Truth and the Fractured But Whole. But yeah, like I don't know. I don't know if it's just the weird way the characters look being animated in full 3D like this. It didn't look good on the Nintendo 64. It doesn't look good here, in my opinion. I don't know if it's just that or what. But yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat as you. But if you're a hardcore South Park fan, then I don't know. Maybe this will be something that you're interested in.
If you're a hardcore South Park fan, just play Stick of Truth or Fractured Butthole. Because those are just really good, kind of like Paper Mario style 2D RPGs that are genuinely both excellent. And this just kind of, to me, looks like a bit of a low effort PvP thing with ugly 3D models. I saw this, I was like, ugh. Like, I didn't really have high hopes when they first announced this and described it was going to be. But seeing it in motion, I'm just very... I'm not here for it. I'm good.
I don't know. Maybe it's just the fact that it does remind me of South Park on the Nintendo 64 is what's... I don't know. Maybe that's it. But yeah, regardless, it's here and it's coming this year.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. We also got a look at a new Sword Art Online game, Fractured Daydream. Sword Art Online Fractured Daydream. So if you're a Sword Art Online fan, of which I know there are many... this is probably right up your alley. These games apparently are solid little, you know, RPGs. I've never played any of them. I love the first season of Sword Art Online, but I've never played any of these. You can do like 20 player co-op and kind of make it like a pseudo MMO experience, which is appropriate considering the source material. But yeah, there are people that's going to be for.
I've admittedly never watched a single episode of Sword Art Online. I've never played a single game. This, for me, exists in that exact same like kind of vacuum as something like Genshin Impact or Dot Hack or something like that.
I think Dot Hack is a good corollary in terms of like the kinds of games these are and even the anime itself. Yeah.
But again, if you're a Sword Art Online fan, if you're an anime fan out there, then... there were a couple things for you to like. I'm sure you enjoy the Ender Lilies or the Ender Salvation trailer. But there were a couple things here very anime themed, and I'm happy for Sword Art Online fans. Even though I knew that this necessarily wasn't going to be a day one for me, I was like, oh, good. I know there's a lot of people out there who are going to like this.
Yep. Sticking in the anime pocket, Gundam Breaker 4 is coming to Switch. I was a huge Gundam Wing fan back in the day, but like watching this again,
looks good.
I think it looks good. Like, but look at this mess that is on screen right now. Look at the numbers and the menus and the garbage that is on screen right now. I'm like, this to me, I look at that and I'm like, my eyes just glaze over. I feel like I'm looking at a Disgaea menu right now. Like, this is insane.
You and I have played a lot of RPGs with menus that look like that, but yeah, they certainly don't trailer well.
Look at this HUD! Like, 60% of the screen is HUD elements. Like, you can, you know, it's like nuts. There's just so much. There's so much going on. The game itself looks pretty fun.
It looks exactly like the Metroid Prime HUD to me.
No, Metroid Prime's HUD is way cleaner than that. Are you kidding me? This thing has got HUD elements.
That's what it looks like to me.
HUD elements are creeping in from every conceivable angle of this bad boy. It's like too much. Look at that, dude. Like, that's so, like, you got like player icons, health, objective, mini map, like face button, D-pad stuff. There's everything. You get like this little space in the center to actually see the game. You know, it's nuts. Too much.
I think it looks pretty good, actually.
Yeah, more power to you. I love Gundam. Like, I love Gundam as a concept. I love this right here.
Yeah.
The how you can actually arrange them and pose them and like take pictures and stuff. This is actually really neat because, you know, like Gundam and Gundam model kits are so massive.
Oh, dude. This
is basically like having a digital Gundam model kit. So this is pretty cool. I do like that.
My sister made so many of this. She was Me a too. Huge. Death Scythe.
Death Scythe's my favorite. Yep.
Yeah, when Gundam Wing was back. So she made a lot of Gundam. Well, I would say a lot, but it was definitely her personality for a couple of years there.
Me too. Yeah, I can definitely relate. I mean, yeah, like I love Gundam. I don't know that this is something I'll jump in on, but maybe if there's like a demo or like a free weekend or something like that, maybe I'll check it out.
If there's a demo, I'll absolutely try it out.
Yeah.
Because for me, I think this trailer actually did a lot for me, and just from like the building aspect and how well the Gundams are rendered on the Nintendo Switch, I think it looks really good. I mean, I don't know. We'll see. It does certainly look like those old, you know, kind of Gundam games from early PS3 days where you're just essentially running around an empty battlefield shooting. but I don't know. We'll see what it looks like when it comes out. Gundam Breaker 4.
Yeah, well, just like we got a game that was for you and not for me, next game is for me and not for you. So let's really get into it here. Let's really get into it here because we got a new Super Monkey Ball game announced.
Yes.
And y'all know, if y'all have been keeping up with us for a little while, I love classic Monkey Ball. They're some of my favorite games ever. I was a fan of Banana Mania. It's not perfect, but I still quite enjoyed it. And so to have a brand new, this is the first brand new Monkey Ball game since the Vita. And because Banana Mania.
Is it really?
Yeah, because Banana Mania was like a... It was like a sort of collection of remastered stages from 1 and 2. Banana Rumble...
Of course, Banana Blitz, yeah.
Yeah, and Banana Rumble is like an actual, you know, an actual new game, presumably on Banana Mania's engine, which was solid. Like, I am okay with this. And just looking at the levels that they've already shown off for this... it gives me a lot of hope. There's a distinct lack of like overabundance of guardrails, which were all over the place in Banana Blitz. Like I look at stuff like this is a classic looking Monkey Ball level. They've introduced this new spin dash mechanic. So I'll be curious to see how well that works and the skips that are possible with that. I don't know. Hang on a sec. Cause I want to pause it. I don't know if I'm crazy about the new designs. I don't know if I like
the overalls on II. Yeah.
Yeah. Like
the weird thing about the overalls on II is you can't see it there because we're seeing it from the, he actually has like a monkey butt on the back of his overalls. So it's like, it's not even about that. I don't know, but he looks, I've seen a lot of people echo your sentiment about that.
He looks like he's like baby II or something. Like he looks a little too, I don't know. It looks a little too like cutesy for me. And like in the bottom right here on the HUD, like that's classic looking II. So it's a little bit strange. It's a little bit of a strange disconnect for me. There are a couple of like brand new characters that they're working on into it, which looks really cool. And I'm excited for that. A bunch of, yeah, over 200 brand new stages. Very, very cool. But the big kind of new thing, not only is it going to have 4-player local co-op, they have got this massive new online mode with 16-player online battles for Banana Rumble. And
I would actually play that.
It looks great. It looks awesome.
I'm not going to lie. It does actually look really fun.
Yeah, I can't wait. You know, and like I said, like Banana Mania wasn't perfect, but it was good enough to where I was like, you know, yes, more of this, and we're getting more of this, and it's a Switch exclusive, which is a big deal. So pretty cool, man. I'm very excited. I'm very excited for this. It's coming out in June 25th. Yeah, June 25th. Super Monkey Ball Banana Rumble. Let's go.
And I do hope that Sega continues the trend of the past couple Monkey Ball games where they actually had some really cool guest characters come in. Like specifically in Banana Mania, there were a ton of awesome guest characters that jumped in. You had like Yakuza guest characters and Beat from Jet Set Radio and all kinds of people popping in from different Sega properties. And I thought that made it really cool. Obviously Sonic popped in as well, but I really enjoyed all those kind of guest Monkey Ballers.
That's going to happen. Yeah. Because you can,
it's
you,
absolutely. Yeah.
Well, like it is. Cause like you can already see the listings for them on the eShop. The game's available for pre-order and like on the eShop, there's just, I mean, there must be like 20 Sega character packs or something on there. So, there's going to be a lot of DLC for this game. There's going to be like a deluxe edition and blah, blah, blah. Pat in the chat says Monkey Ball 99 coming soon. That'd be pretty great. I'd be pretty into that. I think this is about as close as we'll get to Monkey Ball 99 for now. Yeah.
We'll see how well they can get the 16 player matches, running. I don't know. Maybe we'll see if they can bump it up to 32 from there. But I do think, if you guys didn't hear our review of the last Monkey Ball game, classic Monkey Ball just really isn't up my alley. But I definitely would try those 16-player Monkey Ball races. I think those actually look really rad.
Yeah. Hey, I can't wait. It's going to be sick. I think that, you know, when I look at something like this, it really is just like a nice sort of, I guess, reminder of like, you know, like Sega's not ignoring some of these franchises. You know, Sega is putting solid, like, this is a brand new Monkey Ball game, dude. This is exciting stuff. This isn't just like a cash grab, a nostalgic cash grab or anything like that, you know? So, yeah, I'm into it. Way into it.
The biggest reason that I was excited about this is because of everything that you just said, knowing that Sega is currently in the process of reviving a lot of their classic game franchises right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I look at everything they're doing, even though, you know, this may not be necessarily up my alley. I see everything that they're doing with this and I'm like, okay, that makes me actually kind of excited for Crazy Taxi makes me actually kind of excited for some of these other games like Shinobi that they've already announced as well. So I hope we continue to see this type of passion and this type of effort coming from Sega.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see what happens. The next thing they showed, we this is a known quantity. They announced this, I think, during Day of the Devs or the Game Awards, maybe. World of Goo 2 was the next thing they showed. Got a new trailer for that. And, you know, like, this World of Goo, for those who don't know, was a huge deal on WiiWare back in, like, 2008 or something. And
Wii Indie Classic.
Yeah, I think this was the first, like, kind of big WiiWare game was World of Goo. Like, the first, like, really big one. Before we started getting, like, Lost Winds and, you know, Art of Balance and stuff, like, World of Goo was really kind of a huge deal on WiiWare specifically. And this is coming to other platforms as well, but they did say that, like, the Switch version of World of Goo 2 is going to exclusively have co-op, which is neat. I mean, it looks like more World of Goo, if you're into that sort of thing.
But you should be. It was a fantastic game when it came out.
I liked it.
On WiiWare. Incredibly unique little physics-based puzzle game. Just super, super cool. And it's the reason that a lot of people even started looking at the Nintendo eShop on the Wii at other WiiWare titles. Like, oh, things are actually here that might be worth checking out? All right, then.
Yeah, coming May 23rd, so you don't have that long to wait. It's 3 months away from today as we sit here.
Look at that. The last couple games are actually coming out in the first half of 2024.
That's right. That's right. And the first World of Goo is on the Nintendo Switch. So, like, if you want to go back and play the first World of Goo before this comes out, you've got plenty of time to do that. Pat in the chat shouts out the Nindies era. You remember that when they were calling them Nindies? Remember that? Yeah, it was a whole thing for a little while there. okay, well, speaking of stuff not coming out in the first half of 2024, the next thing they showed was Fantasy Life I, The Girl Who Steals Time, I think it's called. A lot of excitement for this. This is one of Level 5's games, and they, during the last Level 5 showcase, they said that this was going to be coming in the spring. It was originally supposed to come out last year. They pushed it to the spring. Now it's being pushed again to, I think, October 10th. And, like, the game looks great, and a lot of people are excited about it, but I'm also just kind of like, man, like, what's good? Like, Level 5 is really, I feel like, biting off more than they can chew right now, man.
They've announced a lot of stuff. They've had multiple direct showing off all of these games that they currently have in the pipeline, and a lot of them, like this one, kind of keep slipping. So I don't know, it makes me a little concerned, but I mean, this gives off such really interesting, like, Tamagotchi Life and Animal Crossing style vibes. I'm sure if you enjoyed those games, this will be right up your alley, even though this also has, like, combat and like RPG style mechanics. There's going to be a lot to do in this game. I can't imagine the visuals are one of the reasons that the game is continuing to slip. It just must be all the different mechanics and gameplay systems at play in this title. But regardless, hopefully they're able to keep this new date.
Well, and I mean, also the fact that, like, it's, you know, it is a fully, like, online, you can do 4-player online co-op, take your friends with you into dungeons, got all these different jobs and stuff. So, like, it's a complicated game, and people loved the first one on 3DS. I never got around to it. But there's a ton of love for Fantasy Life, and
I love that big head dragon.
yeah, I think it looks great. I don't know that I'm day one on it, but I think it looks really good. And again, there's a lot of excitement for it. It's just unfortunate that we're going to have to wait until October to finally see this. October 10th. That is the date for Fantasy Life I. It is a little funny because we are getting another Level 5 showcase in April. So, like, it is a little interesting that That they didn't hold this for then. Maybe it implies that they're going to do a kind of like more of a deep dive on Fantasy Life during that showcase. So we'll see.
I don't know. The only thing that this trailer was missing was that level 5 VTuber who goes level 5.
Yeah. Yeah. The president of level 5 as a VTuber. Very good. The next thing we got, another major indie game that we saw next up in the showcase, another Crab's Treasure, which finally is kind of getting like the proper, it got a release date. It's come out in April. And this trailer kind of really is showing like, I guess what the game is, like the voice acting and the characters and stuff. The game is starting to finally feel like more full to me.
Everything we'd seen up till this week had just kind of been conceptual. The trailer that we got to see at the partner showcase started to really show us what we can expect, or to show off different environments, different characters, and really felt like we got a much bigger picture of what we're going to be able to experience in this title. They had told us this entire time, hey, it's going to be this Souls-like game where you're constantly switching between different shells that have different abilities. Okay, cool. That only shows us so much, but in this trailer, like, we see so many different characters and environments and battle situations and different shells that you can get. We actually start to see some of the character dynamics that are at play. And I certainly take my hat off to AgroCrag, because this has not been an easy process for them. They've had to deal with multiple break-ins, and it's just been kind of a weird process. But the game, it looks like it's coming together incredibly well, and it's also coming out in 2 months.
Yeah. Another Crab's Treasure, April 25th. The game's great. I've played it. I played the demo for it on PC and thoroughly enjoyed it. And yeah, I mean, like, they look like, with what we've seen in this trailer, it looks like it's up and running really well on Switch. Games like these kind of have to, like, it kind of has to be a snappy, you know, consistent frame rate, because like that can be the difference between life or death in a game like this. This is a underwater crab souls like, and it looks great. I am very excited. This became like, now that it's finally kind of coming together, it's coming out in just a couple months. It feels like it's coming full circle. Elveth here in the chat, shout outs to Elveth, one of our community members. It will ever be a pleasure to play another Crab's Treasure. So nice. Very good.
I just feel bad considering this is going to be a Souls like, aka probably punishingly difficult. I feel bad for all the people just kind of discovering this game on the eShop. I was like, oh, this looks fun.
This
and
looks cute.
Colorful. Yeah, this looks cute. I'm gonna pop it and see what this is like. So but yeah, I'm really excited to play it. Souls likes really haven't been a genre that I've like super delved deep into, but I've been really interested to play this game ever since we first saw it. And AgroCrab they're already starting to get a pretty good pedigree.
I've seen a lot of people share that sentiment that you just said, like I'm not a Souls-like person, but I want to play this. And yeah. So I think that another Crab's Treasure is really like weirdly positioned to be the thing that could get people into an entire genre. So I don't know, that is pretty cool that an indie game has that kind of like widespread appeal. I'm really into it. I can't wait. I hope they put the demo out on Switch so that people can have a chance to get their hands on it and kind of see what it's about before the game comes out. So I hope that's in the cards. We'll see.
I don't know. We'll see.
The next thing that was shown was a shadow drop in a segment they called Dash Drop Drill. The shadow drop of Penny's Big Breakaway was the next thing we saw. New trailer. They kind of buried the lead a little bit. They showed off the new trailer. And then at the end, they're like, hey, I hope you're ready because it's out now. And you and I have not played this yet. It is on the docket for this weekend.
Yes, it is.
Early buzz is strong. We can't wait to play it. We've been looking forward to it for some time now, and it looks great.
Yeah, this is something that just immediately took our breath away. I've been kind of yearning for the days of old, like two AAA platform games from, you know, the PlayStation, Xbox, and just kind of that mid-2000s era. This, obviously, one of the big things that they've been pushing with Penny's Big Breakaways, you know, the same team as Sonic Mania.
Yeah.
And I mean, that alone is like, oh, okay, well, you have incredibly talented people working on this. I'm already sold. But yeah, hearing the early buzz from those who have already played it since it did shadow drop is just making me need to play this game even more. And I, like I said, both you and I are going to be doing exactly that this weekend, and I can't wait. Of everything that's come out in the past few weeks, of which there is a lot, this honestly probably got me the most excited when I found out that it was shadow dropping.
I mean, this is already like among my most anticipated games of the year. So for that to be a shadow drop was pretty cool. I kind of knew that this was going to be a shadow drop, but like it was still a really hype announcement to have this thing available today. This is a big deal. This game is going to be good. So yeah, I'm going to play through it this weekend. I'm really looking forward to it. Yeah, available now. Penny's Big Breakaway. It's $29.99. So do be aware of that. It is on the steeper side. It's kind of in that in-between space of like indie and AAA. So do be aware of that. But I considering the pedigree and everybody involved with it, I think it may well justify that price point. So yeah, can't wait.
Agreed.
Next one, this is a bit of a surprise. Suika Game popped up during this partner showcase with a new multiplayer paid DLC expansion, which, I mean, hey, to be fair, this is something that people have wanted. This DLC expansion is adding not only a multiplayer mode to it, time limit mode, attack mode, in addition to the original game, finally adding some like substantial content that is not just skins, effectively, for Suika Game. I think it's like $5, and it's available now. You can go ahead and buy it.
Well, I'm sure the creator didn't remotely expect
the
tsunami of success that this game has enjoyed since it first came out late last year. And that was honestly the biggest thing that we could say about the game. The biggest criticism that we could say is that we just want more of it. And sure enough, the developer finally was able to give us exactly that. We got a couple, you know, like seasonal updates in the form of, you know, new jars and new versions of the watermelon for Halloween and Christmas, but an actual substantial content update that throws in verses and is ultimately going to lead to online verses, which is going to be a ton of fun. It's going to give this game a lot of extra life.
Online multiplayer coming in the future. That's a huge deal. Because like they with this, and to be frank, what I expected was going to happen with this game was, despite the fact that it had like a bunch of success, I mean, they had no real reason to reinvest that success back into the game. Like, they could have just said, cool, I made my millions, the lightning hit the bottle, and I'm going to bounce. They could have done that. But like they are reinvesting resources back into it and continuing to work on the game. And yeah, I think it's going to help have, you know, the game have legs. The fact that multiplayer is now in the game, it has multiple new modes, which is already, you know, the singular mode of Suika Game was already very addicting. But like, you know, the fact that they're adding all this stuff with online coming is huge. Really cool. Yeah. Shout out to them.
Right as I thought I was out.
Yeah. I can't see in the chat points out. Hopefully more music options. Please, for the love of God, I will pay money for even just an additional song. Just one more song. I would pay money for it. Please, y'all.
That's fair.
That song is too much, dude. Okay. Well,
just
we
leave in the holiday songs at the very least. Those are actually kind of nice.
Let me cycle through them or something like that. But yeah, in any case, the Suika Game multiplayer mode is available now. Paid DLC. You can also get a bundle with the game and the new mode included. So very cool. Total surprise. Next thing, sticking in the indie pocket, Pepper Grinder got a demo and a release date. It's coming out next month on the 28th, I believe, and the demo shadow dropped during the partner showcase. You and I have both played it. I have a video here on the YouTube channel of my playthrough of it. The game is wonderful, and I cannot wait.
Yeah, the first couple stages of the Pepper Grinder demo are pretty straightforward, but then the third stage, the final stage of the demo, really starts to show you a lot of the things that they have planned for this conceit, that they have planned for this style game. And it just, it does take a little bit of getting used to, used to kind of drilling through the ground and the way you basically swim through the earth, essentially. But this is going to be yet another really special title from Devolver Digital this year.
Yeah, it's awesome. I really cannot wait. I mean, again, I was already very excited for Pepper Grinder, but after like playing the demo and getting my hands on it, I was like, oh yeah, like this is the one, dude. This is gonna be such a good time. So demo's available now on the Switch. I highly recommend y'all download it and check it out. It's free. It took me like 20 minutes to play through the three stages in the demo, and it gives you a really good sense of what the game's gonna be like. So definitely check it out.
I'm gonna spend so much time going for all the medals in that game. I know.
Yeah, for sure. This was my like get hype moment of the show right here.
Oh, I know.
This was when I really kind of popped off. Pocket Card Jockey, one of my favorite games of all time. Certainly one of my favorite games on 3DS. Got a port last year to iOS, and it then became one of my favorite iOS games. Well, now it's on the Nintendo Switch. It was shadow dropped for $15. Pocket Card Jockey Ride On, now available. And it's everything is right in the world. Everything is glorious. I love this game.
This is the moment from the partner direct that I was like, I wish I could have been next to Seth the first time he saw this.
Yeah. There's also a demo available too, which is a smart move because Pocket Card Jockey is a hard game to describe. I know because I've spent the past like decade of my life trying to sell people on it. It's a horse breeding RPG with solitaire based mechanics. And it's a very hard game to describe. It doesn't trailer super well either beyond the fact that like it's cute. But like the game is so brilliantly designed and so it is like, maybe the singularly most addictive game that I've ever played. So I'm glad they have a demo. Everybody, if you are within earshot of my voice, I implore you to at least download the demo. If it's not for you, it's not for you. But at least give it the chance and download the demo because, like, it'll get its hooks in you, man. I've already spent, like, 6 hours with this and it just came out.
So, Seth, just very quickly, in case the wonderful people listening to the sounds of our voice don't yet have the full scope of what's going on, you've played this game quite a bit over the past decade, correct?
Yeah, I played a ton of it on 3DS, a ton of it on iOS, and already playing a ton of it on Switch, yeah.
In your well-informed opinion, would you say this is Game Freak's best game?
Yes. Like, not even a question. It's my favorite Game Freak game. Like, by far. I think it is their best design. Like, don't get me wrong. I love Pokemon. I love Drill Dozer, you know, and stuff like this. I love Harmonite. You know, Game Freak's made some really good stuff. But, like, in terms of raw, like, game design, in terms of, like, the addictive nature of it and everything that the game has going on, like, I think this is the smartest and most well-designed Game Freak game. Easily. So, yeah, it's great. Everybody should play. It's got online multiplayer, which I believe is new. If the iOS version got it, then they must have added it post-launch because I don't remember the iOS version having online multiplayer. So that's also very cool, and we're going to play some of that pretty soon.
Yeah, so, I think we're trying to play that online here with the community here before long.
Yeah, that's the plan. So I'm just overjoyed that this is on Switch. This is like,
I'm so happy for you.
It's just one of those, like, this is one of those games where like, you're just like, God, I wish this was on Switch. This is one of those games and here it finally is. So yeah.
I knew this for you was essentially like me seeing Star Ocean 2 last year at that direct.
Yeah. So yeah. Very, very good, man. Everybody should play Pocket Card Jockey. Ride On. It's available now. The next thing we see here, we got the sizzle reel, your patented sizzle reel. Snufkin Melody of Moomin Valley was the first thing in the sizzle reel. This is cool.
Yeah. I'm into it. Okay. It's okay. I mean, we've already seen this game at several showcases in the past. I think we saw it at like a Wholesome Games or a Day of the Devs or something, but we've seen this game multiple times already. So just this quick little sizzle reel reminding us that the game exists. Okay, cool. We still know that the game exists, but I mean, to be fair, it is coming out in just a couple weeks at this point. It's dropping on March 7th. It's just weird that this will probably be the last time we see this game in this capacity at a place like this. So weird that they didn't at least let it have a full trailer.
Yeah. Yeah. March 7th, pre-orders live now for Snufkin Melody of Moomin Valley. Looks kind of neat. Looks kind of neat. I'm into it. I'd be interested in checking it out. The next thing we got in the sizzle reel, Tales of Kenzera Zhao, which we've had our eye on since it was revealed at the Game Awards. This is coming out in April. We've known the release date of this for a little while. But just another like kind of chance to see it, you know, give it another spot of marketing. Looks really cool.
Yeah. Easily one of my most anticipated indie games of this year. I was immediately sold on the passion and the drive behind, Abubakar Salim.
Yes.
Abubakar Salim, when he showed it off at the Game Awards, and you could just tell that this was just such a deeply important, deeply personal project for him. And you can really tell that if you just look at the game in motion for 5 seconds, you can tell that everybody working on this game really, really wanted to work on this game. I can't wait. I can't wait at all for this game. It's going to be so good.
Yeah, Pat in the chat says, looks great and very Ori-like. Yeah, it's got definitely like Metroidvania, Prince of Persia kind of vibes going on here for sure. It looks great. It comes out April 23rd. Pre-orders are available now. And I can't wait to get my hands on this one either. Coming from please. EA Originals. Very cool. This is Demon Slayer. I'm going to go with Kimetsu no Yaiba. Sweep the Board, a Demon Slayer like party game, it looks like.
That's what it looks like. Yeah. I mean, Demon Slayer is another anime that I don't know that much about. So maybe this is applicable. Maybe this is appropriate for the anime, but yeah, it just looks like almost like a Rhythm Heaven style Mario Party, almost Point Blank style experience. I don't know. It's kind of weird. I wouldn't necessarily call it a WarioWare like, but I don't know. There's certainly a lot going on in this game.
April 26th is when that comes out. If you're a Demon Slayer fan, maybe give it a look. Who knows? Certainly not me. Kingdom Come Deliverance Royal Edition comes out March 15th. Another one of those, like, you know, here, take a low res port of a game that's been out for a while. There are going to be people who are into this. I don't know anything about Kingdom Come Deliverance, so I'm not qualified to talk about this one, but the trailer, the little snippet we saw here, didn't really do too much for me, to be honest, but I don't know.
Well, there certainly wasn't anything else in the Partner Direct that really looked like this. So I'm glad that, you know, the people out there who enjoy high fantasy adventures like this, you know, very Skyrim-esque, or just, you know, very Elder Scrolls-esque. So I don't know. I hope that people who are excited for it, I hope it's a good port.
Yeah, we'll see. March 15th, that's when that comes out if you're into that sort of thing. Next thing we got, Contra, Operation Galuga from WayForward and Konami. March 12th, demo did shadow drop. I've not played it yet. We'll see. Recent Contra games have not been good. We'll see what happens. To be honest, like, visually, this doesn't really do too much for me. Just like looking at the trailer, I'm like, okay, like, well, you know, maybe we'll see. I'll try the demo and see what happens. I do think it's kind of funny because the whole sort of selling point and the language that WayForward has, and they talk about it in press releases and stuff, is they really are throwing this back to classic Contra. At least that's what their intent is. So like, I'm like, Operation Galuga, OG. Okay. I see what you did there. Right? So, I see what you did there. We'll see.
I'll admit, I didn't immediately catch up on that, but I mean, it certainly does look kind of like old Contra games. There are aliens and spreader weapons and laser weapons, and it looks like there's certainly a lot of running and or gunning. So,
plenty of that.
I don't know. I have seen a few people who have played the Switch version of the demo throw up some kind of
frame rates are bad and stuff.
Yeah. So, but that's the whole point of there being a demo, is if this is a game you're interested in, you have the opportunity to check it out before you buy it.
Comes out March 12th. Pre-orders and demo available right now. The last big thing in the sizzle reel was, of course, the other Xbox Game Studios game, Pentiment, which they released tomorrow at the time of the Direct. It's now available, $19.99 on the Nintendo Switch. This is from Obsidian Entertainment. Kind of a little bit of that game, people love that game.
Dude, man, when it released last year, I was seeing a lot of outlets give it perfect scores. I couldn't believe it. This was nowhere on my radar. I mean, obviously, it was an Xbox exclusive at the time. But when it came out and I was just seeing all the critical buzz coming from Pentiment, even I was like, God, do I have to play this game? Do I have to find a way to try this title?
I've been specifically waiting for it to come to Switch. Like, even before the news of like these games coming to other platforms, like I had a feeling that Pentiment was going to be one of the ones that eventually bridged the gap. So I am looking forward to this. I am going to get around to playing this on Switch, and I am going to be very curious to see what all the fuss is about for Pentiment. So yeah, looks great.
But if you're interested in it, I know the game doesn't immediately shout classic, but again, when this game came out last year on Xbox.
Came out 2022. It wasn't even last year.
Oh, it came out in 2022 already? Good Lord. Yeah. Darn you, passage of time. But people were tripping over themselves to praise this game when it came out. Like I said, I saw a lot of perfect scores. So if the Nintendo Switch port is anywhere close to the original release of this title, it looks like it might be kind of a must play for most people.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to play it. Looks interesting. I'm looking forward to it. Okay, well, the last couple of... We had two more things. Which was kind of weird and funny. I know that this next one was your get hype moment.
All right, so... Yeah. You guys know how Seth and I both feel about Rare, and especially their legendary streak in the 90s, constantly releasing banger after banger. Honestly, it just felt like for 15 years there, the studio was just simply throwing darts at a dartboard, trying to figure out which genre they were about to make an all-time classic in next. But here, obviously, after getting Banjo-Kazooie, Jet Force Gemini, and...
GoldenEye
007 on the Nintendo Switch and 64 apps, we did in fact get five more Rare games. It wasn't quite Rare Replay. I think we all knew in our hearts that wasn't actually going to happen. However, we get five more Rare games to play on NSO now. And four of them are available just with the basic subscription.
Yeah.
You have the four... you have RC Pro-Am and Snake Rattle and Roll on the original Nintendo. You've got Blast Corps, an amazingly underlooked game from the Nintendo 64. You've got Battletoads and Battle Maniacs on the Super Nintendo, which admittedly you can kind of take it or leave it. And I can't remember the last game. Seth, what was the other game released from Rare on the NSO?
Killer
Instinct! It's on the TV behind me, folks. I'm a 40-year-old man this year. I'm just a few months removed from my 40th birthday. I lost my mind like a teenager when I saw this Super Nintendo fighting game being added to the Nintendo Switch this past week. My heart literally skipped a beat. For just a fraction of a second, I thought I might have actually been having a heart attack when I saw Killer Instinct pop up. Well, not even pop up on screen. That note,
yeah,
that sound, that song, when Nintendo introduced this section, when they said coming to NSO, that is the note, specifically the incredibly, for everybody who's ever played the game, that incredibly singular note that precedes one of the greatest video game soundtracks in history. I mean, I've already spent several hours with Killer Instinct since it released, and this was my pocket card jockey. I love having Blast Corps, and I'm even really a big defender of Snake Rattle and Roll, and RC Pro-Am is super fun. Admittedly, Battle Maniacs, you can kind of take it or leave it, but Killer Instinct is an all-timer. It is probably in my top three favorite fighting games of all time. This is an absolute must play. And I am so excited that after 2.5 decades, we finally have KI back on a Nintendo platform. Thank you, Rare. Thank you, Microsoft.
Yeah. You know, I like Killer Instinct. I like Blast Corps. I don't love any of these games. Pat in the chat says, how can they show that Rare logo and not give us the games that matter? These games do matter. But what matters to me more than this is what this stuff represents. I mean, like you mentioned, Banjo-Kazooie, GoldenEye, Jet Force Gemini, like the Rare floodgates, we got like some of the big Rare games. And I thought, Okay, well, maybe that's it. And we, you know, Rare Replay is never going to come out on Switch realistically, You know, but like we're kind of filling in the blanks and we're getting this stuff on NSO and the floodgates are open. Like I look at this stuff and I'm like, nothing is off the table for Rare. Yeah. And you can see here in these constellations, we got more coming.
I've been seeing so many conspiracy theories about the constellations. I'm honestly just happy to be playing KI right now. And very crucially, you know, a lot of people miss the fact, because Nintendo really doesn't often repeat this, the NSO apps are online capable. You and I have played GoldenEye 007 online. Mm-hmm. We can play Killer Instinct online. We can play RC Pro-Am online. We can play Snake Rattle and Roll online. This is not just a generic re-release of these titles. It is a re-release of these titles that comes with a very important added feature. And especially for a fighting game, that is like being able to play the Super Nintendo version of Killer Instinct online in 2024 is something that I genuinely cannot put into words about the feelings that it makes me feel.
And the promise of more, the promise of more to come. I mean, again, this announcement to me was the floodgates are open. Pat in the chat says, I just want to play Diddy Kong Racing online. I mean,
same.
I think that is what this sort of says to me, is like stuff like Diddy Kong Racing. I feel like
it's on the table.
Yeah, totally is on the table. Anything's on the table now. We got GoldenEye and Banjo, Banjo-Tooie, Diddy Kong Racing, Perfect Dark. All this stuff could come and probably will come. We know at
with
least
the GoldenEye,
yeah,
with the James Bond licensing, I really didn't think GoldenEye. You know, some of the other games, cool. Yeah, Killer Instinct and Banjo-Kazooie. Rare owns the rights to those characters. But when James Bond 007 GoldenEye came out on the Nintendo 64, that was really like, oh, snap. Yeah. And especially with these five games releasing this week, it's like, oh, snap, times two.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to continue. We're not going to get Rare Replay, but they're going to continue filling in the gaps. And I think that, you know, and there are a lot of people who are kind of like wondering what's going on with NSO, because like we have had a very slow trickle and drip feed. So to have this just kind of dumped on everybody was a big deal. And now we have a little bit of a sense of like, okay, like we're going to continue to get Rare games on NSO. By the time this is all said and done, it's going to be very hard for people to deny. I mean, it already is in my opinion, but it's going to be even harder for people to deny the value proposition. And it's also representative of the strengthened connection that they've got with Microsoft at this point. I mean, Microsoft had three major announcements in this partner showcase. I mean, they were the dominating partner of this partner showcase in the totality of everything. So, yeah, really big deal.
Yeah, super, super excited. I'm right there with you. I would love to see Diddy Kong Racing. I'm super excited for this. We're never going to get Rare Replay. We're never going to see Viva Pinata on the Nintendo Switch. We're going to have to contend ourselves.
Well, I don't know about that. I could see it coming.
Weird party game on the DS. So we're never getting Viva Pin, but there's a lot of other games that are absolutely on the table. So, I mean, I wouldn't mind Grabbed by the Ghoulies personally, but Diddy Kong 64.
Okay.
First.
No, forget Grabbed by the Ghoulies. Who gives a crap about Grabbed by the Ghoulies? No.
What is this Grabbed by the Ghoulies erasure, Seth? Come on.
Nobody cares about Grabbed by the Ghoulies, dude. But Viva Pinata, I could see that, you know, happening, but it's not going to be on NSO. It's going to be a separate, you know, Viva Pinata collection.
That's not on NSO.
Yeah.
Because it didn't come on any
It didn't release on any of these platforms. No. So, yeah.
But yes, exactly. Just final thoughts. That is going to be a memory that I treasure for a long time, is watching this partner showcase and hearing that note hit, followed by Rare's logo, and knowing what I was about to see. Oh, be still my heart.
Well, the two final announcements of the presentation were Eric announcements.
They really were.
This
they
was really another. Were. Yeah. I mean, like the actual final announcement of the show. And unfortunately, this was kind of leaked pretty summarily before the showcase happened. But this was, I was like, oh, man, like Eric's eating pretty well.
Yeah.
We got a new Endless Ocean coming.
I have said very explicitly on this show several times before that I was a big, big fan of Endless Ocean on the Wii, and that I would love to see a remake or a re-release, which I initially thought this might be, but right. No, it's actually a new game in the series, as you can see here on screen, Endless Ocean Luminous. And honestly, it just looks like everything that I wanted. I wasn't necessarily looking for a game that's going to add a whole bunch of new gameplay mechanisms. However, it looks like it's going to have a much larger map, a ton of new species that you can interact with. They said literally over 500 different species that you can interact with. And it looks like it's going to have a very strong online component. Yeah, there we go. Online play for up to 30 players. This is the definition of not going to be for everybody. And I honestly, as much as I love this, I thought it was weird that I love that screen I so do much. Too. Just everybody with their everybody little Fortnite emoting. Poses.
Yeah.
This is the definition of not going to be for everybody, but Endless Ocean, when I first started, I didn't think that it was going to be a game that I got into, but I absolutely was transfixed with the first one. It definitely wasn't the most beautiful game, but there was something about it, the way it was presented and the environments, the vibes, and just everything about the title. I really, really adored. And I was so incredibly excited to see that we're getting this new one. This is absolutely a day one for me. And this honestly may be my new therapy game. This is such a cool announcement from Nintendo. Really strange that they put it on last, just because of how niche I think it is. People have been clamoring for Nintendo to go back to these old obscure series and IPs that they own for a long time. But for many of them, I don't think this was what they had in mind. You know, I'm eating well, but I feel like I'm looking at a lot of other people on the table asking, where's my food? But I'm over here gorging out. So sorry, folks.
Look, I like Endless Ocean. I don't like it as much as you, but I did like the first one quite a lot. I had a good time with it. It's a pretty like serene kind of game, you know. It was funny. It's funny because Endless Ocean doesn't typically fall into like your typical wheelhouse. You love fighting games and kind of bombastic. Yeah. And this is not that. But then I remember how much you love stuff like Power Wash Simulator. And I'm like, that's kind of in the same vibe. This is kind of like, if you're a Power Wash Simulator fan, if you're the type of person that does like to just kind of zen out and get lost in a world, Endless Ocean is probably for you. I think that this appeals to actually a wider swath of people than you might expect. It's just that the IP doesn't have very strong, you know, brand recognition.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's just kind of, you know, it like cool. Endless Ocean. Cool. I'm excited. I mostly just love that Nintendo is going back to the Wii and DS era and giving those franchises some love at all. Like more than like my excitement for the actual game, I'm excited that, you know, that there is a new Endless Ocean coming out in 2024 at all, you know? So
me too. I do think there's a lot of people that are looking to this as, oh, this was their big final announcement for this.
Yeah.
This is very clearly an indication of a light 2024, back half of 2024 for Nintendo. And I don't know if that's necessarily true, but yeah, I can admit that seeing this, as happy as I was seeing this as their one more thing, as their final announcement for this partner showcase, was, I think, a bold move, to say the least, but a bold move that I will be happy to put my flippers back on and dive back in when it releases later this year.
It's in May. What was it? May 2nd. May 2nd, pre-orders begin today, so you can pre-order it now. Endless Ocean Luminous. I like the idea, too, of making this a, like, roguelike sort of thing, apparently. Like, they said there's some kind of language in here, like, the sea changes every time you every dive time in. You
go, yeah.
Yeah, or something like that. And then, like, combining that with, again, 30-player online multiplayer, that's going to be pretty sick. That's going to be really fun to just, like, link up with the community and do, like, dives together and just kind of hang out. Like, I don't even know exactly what there is to do down there, but I kind of just want to go down there and just hang out with friends, you know?
One of the things that I saw they were showing...
Look at that goblin shark. Look at that, dude.
Dude, man. I will say, you can't take damage in Endless Ocean. That being said...
There's some scary stuff.
Dude, the abyss in Endless Ocean, which is the deep, deep part of the ocean, where there's literally no light except your headlamp, is one of the scariest things that I've ever played in a video game.
Yeah, like, ocean's terrifying.
It's genuinely terrifying. And again, game where you can't take damage. But there was one time I remember I just turned around and there was a sperm whale literally within a foot of my character. And I actually, like, you know, I think I actually swallowed the top of my lip. Like,
I love this shot here because, like, the people that are playing are emoting as this goblin shark clearly, like, snuck up on them. This dude's got a little crying emote. This guy's got, like, a scared fish emote. You know, I don't know. Like, there is something about it. Like, there is something going on here.
Yeah.
So.
And I'm going to be excited because... there was also this type of collection mentality. You could have your own aquarium and you could, you know, actually cultivate, you know, the more that you interacted with these species, you could actually get some for your own aquarium. And there was, you know, this type of cozy Animal Crossing-esque management sim to it as well. In addition to going on the dives and finding this stuff. And it looks like in this game, there may even be, I think I saw there we go, right there. That shot of the white clownfish, in the middle of the rest of them. And
oh, like
right
the
there.
Rare species kind of
exactly
thing?
Like a rare species kind of mixed in
shiny
in
hunting
amongst everything. Basically. Yeah. So the fact that I'm going to be able to do that now with this type of game, that's going to have this massive, expansive, gorgeous underwater map for me to swim around in is thank you, Nintendo.
Yeah, man. I'm
into
from
me
it.
At least.
I'm into it. But yeah, that was pretty much the partner showcase. Some pretty big stuff going on here. You know, again, I understand if not all these announcements are for you, but there's some pretty, I mean, you can't deny that there was some pretty big announcements to somebody in this thing. So yeah, man. I liked
it. A ton of stuff. I'm super excited. Like I said, I thought the first half was a little mid, but they more than, as far as I'm concerned at least, they more than made up for it with the second. I am incredibly excited about Star Wars Battlefront Decoy. You are definitely not the only one excited for that. I'm incredibly excited about that. I'm incredibly excited about the Rare games that I have now. I'm incredibly excited about Endless Ocean. And there's a lot of, you know, there's a smattering of other titles that I do plan on picking up. Obviously, Penny's Big Breakaway is happening this weekend. I do have to play Pocket Card Jockey, Another Crab's Treasure, Pepper Grinder, you know, Zao. Is going to be amazing. I think Arranger looks really cool. Epic Mickey Rebrush looks really cool. So, like, when you look back on this partner direct, you're like, oh snap, there's a lot of really good looking titles coming down the pipeline now. The problem is, you know, even with this just being 23 minutes long, like, it's so saturated with stuff that even some really good looking titles by the end kind of get lost in the shuffle. And I had to go back and rewatch it a couple times to be like, oh yes, I am actually excited for that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even, you know, like, even if all this direct had was like Monkey Ball, Pocket Card Jockey and Penny's Big Breakaway. That would have been a marquee direct for me. Like that, like I had some, I was eating pretty well during this direct. So like, I'm happy with it. I understand if like you're the type of person where, you know, these don't speak to you, not everything's going to speak to everybody. But I will say too, that this is the first February in many years where we have not had a proper like general Nintendo Direct. And to me, this partner showcase did sort of illustrate that, like, this is the year that we are going to hear about the next thing. The first half of the year is not going to have very much in the way of first party Nintendo releases, because we are gearing up, we are holding our cards back, we are gearing up for whatever the next thing is. I don't know, I know nothing, I don't know when they're going to reveal the next thing. There's been rumors that it's in March, and then it got pushed back, and who cares, whatever.
Dude, but there's been rumors about it for years at this point, but... Yeah. But yes, I can see. I mean, it does. There is a sense in the air that Nintendo's like, well, we got to hold a couple things for launch titles for this next thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, like they are going to be holding stuff close to the vest. And and you know, we are, I think, going to hear about the next thing this year. And I think that we are going at that time going to hear about more first party releases. So that was another kind of big thing for me in this direct was, okay, like I see what's happening now. Like I get it. Yeah. I see what's going on. So yeah, that was the partner showcase. We both came away pretty happy, all things considered. And yeah, Eric's got killer instinct, so he's good to go. We should also say, It's not the only Nintendo showcase, because very soon, as a matter of fact, next Tuesday, Pokemon Presents is happening on the 27th at 6. Sorry, let me turn the music down. I want to get a strike for that. We've got 6 a.m. Pacific on Tuesday, February 27th, Pokemon Presents for Pokemon Day. They usually do this every year, and this year is no different. So.
Yeah, honestly, we know we're going to get stuff on Pokemon Cafe. We know we're going to get stuff on Pokemon Go,
Pokemon Sleep.
Yeah, but honestly, this is the first time coming into one of these that outside of that, like, I really don't know. The one thing that I could think of is another thing that got announced this past week. Blessedly, we are getting more episodes of Pokemon Concierge from Netflix. We could potentially see... It's some new, but honestly, aside from that, like I have no clue what we're seeing. All the content has been released for, I was about to say Sword and Shield, for Scarlet and Violet. So, I mean, honestly, I'm kind of in the dark here. I don't know if this is just going to be a really short Pokemon Presents or if they actually have a couple big things to come out the gates with.
Something, I mean, there will be a Pokemon game this year. That's gonna happen. There will be a Pokemon something. I don't think it's gonna be, I sure to God hope it's not gonna be a new kind of mainline entry. I think Pokemon Company.
Gen 10.
Yeah, like I think the Pokemon Company has kind of illustrated that, like, maybe they've learned their lesson a little bit and maybe they want to spend a little more time on these things. So I kind of hope that the mainline series takes the year off. But as Pat in the chat points out, Black and White are the next things poised for a remake. And I could absolutely see Black and White remakes happening this year, especially considering the Diamond and Pearl. You know, people deride those, like Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl now. Those sold games sold
gangbusters
very well. I mean, very well. And so if it is that, if it's like a new Let's Go thing, I can't believe they haven't done another Let's Go. There was all kinds of, like, I guess people pointed out that, like, they set the game, like, YouTube has like a game category thing and they set it for Pokemon Gold and Silver and they've since removed it. So like a lot of people are reading into that saying, oh, it's because Let's Go Johto is coming. Who knows? There are a lot of things that could be here. I come into Pokemon Presents with low expectations. But you know, we're gonna get some kind of Pokemon something this year.
In a perfect world, as far as I'm concerned, we're getting Pokken 2, and
be cool.
We're getting Pokken 2, and then we see this sweeping trailer, Journey Back to the region of Unova. Pokemon Legends, Unova.
I would love another Pokemon Legends game. Yeah. I really love Pokemon Legends Arceus. I would love a new Legends game. So we'll see. I think it's more likely that Black and White remakes come out this year, and then next year we get either a new Legends game or a new, you know, mainline entry of some kind. There have been people talking about, like, oh, I think Pokemon's going to wait until the new hardware. Pokemon's never done that, to be frank. Pokemon, if anything, are the people who are still banging down the old hardware long after it's dead. You know, Pokemon Black and White 2 are good examples of that, frankly. You know, the Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, very late 3DS games. You know, like, Pokemon always does that. They're always the last vestiges of old hardware. So... yeah.
But regardless, we only have a few days to wait. And again, just because I really don't know what's coming, I'm tentatively interested because there's a lot of potential for Pokemon to come out. And I don't want to necessarily say make right, considering, you know, all the issues with Scarlet and Violet and everything. But there's certainly a lot of potential for them to come out and give people something that they really like next week. And I hope that's what happens.
We'll see. Pat in the chat says, you think they'd drop some NSO Pokemon games? I don't. I mean, like,
there's been a lot of speculation about that.
Of course people would love that. Of course that would be great. I hope I'm wrong. I don't think they're going to do it. I hope I'm wrong. I think it would be more likely of them to put it on, like, all of them on a cart and say, here's the Pokemon Origins collection and give us $60 for it. I think that's more likely than putting them on NSO. But I don't know. I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong. I think Pokemon games on NSO would be wonderful. So I don't know. Yeah. We'll see.
I know a lot of people want that. I already have all of those games on 3DS, so that's not necessarily something that I would be banging down Game Freak or the Pokemon Company's doors for. But, I mean, they are classics. And I would like it just for people to have access to Crystal, because Crystal's amazing.
Yeah, that would be cool. Okay, well, we're running long, but let's hit these. We have a... you know, a massive amount of notable releases. Many of them we've covered already, but let's hit them before we say goodnight.
Sounds good. Well, a lot of them we have already talked about. Let's go ahead and just very quickly touch back over the ones that did release in conjunction with the partner direct. So in terms of, like, full-on shadow releases, we did, of course, get Penny's Big Breakaway and Pocket Card Jockey. Those full games did release the same day as the Nintendo Direct, and Pocket Card Jockey is apparently amazing, and Penny's Big Breakaway is, according to some other people that we respect the opinions of, also apparently very amazing. We are going to find out for ourselves this weekend. But in addition to that, Pentiment from Obsidian also released this past week. It wasn't necessarily a shadow drop, but it was, you know, a day later shadow drop, a morning after shadow drop from the Nintendo Direct. So those three full games released from this partner showcase, in addition to the demo for Unicorn Overlord, the demo for Contra OG, and the demo for what was the other one? Pepper Grinder. Thank you very much.
Yep. We also got the Suica game multiplayer paid DLC did drop as well, as part of the partner showcase. So a lot of shadow drops during the partner showcase. So big shout outs to those. I think the other, like, kind of biggest release of this past week, Splatoon 3 Wave 2 Side Order, did come out. If you have the Splatoon 3 expansion pass, you have access to that. I streamed it yesterday for a few hours. It's rad. It's wonderful. And if you're a Splatoon 3 fan, you should play it. It's great. I love it. So, yeah,
absolutely. In addition to that, we got a couple really, really interesting games that you're probably going to hear us talk about a little bit more in the future. A couple games that Seth also made videos for that you can check out right here on the YouTube channel. Unless you're watching us on Twitter, then you should go over to the YouTube channel if you're done watching us tonight and check out videos for Geometry Survivor and Balatro.
Both great. Both really, really good. Like, just the stuff that released this week could occupy me for the next 3 months. Like,
I almost missed the show today because I was so addicted to Balatro this afternoon.
It's wonderful. They're both really, really strong. So don't sleep on, especially Balatro. Don't sleep on Balatro.
Yeah, Geometry Survivor is a 50-50 blend of Geometry Wars and Vampire Survivors for $4.99. It is exactly what you think it is based on that sentence. So if that sounds like a $4.99 fun time to you, then by all means, I've enjoyed my time with it thus far. In addition to that, like an actual sequel to Pong came out this week. That kind of blew my mind a little bit. Like Atari Strange, I don't really know how to, is it Comp?
Quomp? I guess. Quomp. Yeah, I don't know. Quomp 2.
Q-O-M-P 2. So this weird like threequel to Pong that actually looks like a fairly interesting like CRT filtered weird top-down ball-based dungeon crawler.
Yeah,
it's bizarre.
Yeah, it's like a obstacle-based dungeon crawler thing where you play as the ball from Pong, basically, is what's going on there. Looks really cool and interesting. It's cool to see Atari get really back into development. That looks really cool. I want to shout out this game Promenade, which came out this week. That's a really kind of cutesy, cool-looking, like, puzzle platformer. There's a demo available for it as well, so give it a look. Promenade looks pretty neat. But I know there's also been two fighting game updates you wanted to shout out real quick.
Yes, just very quickly, the same day as the Nintendo Direct, we got two huge updates. Retro Mania Wrestling was a game that we featured several years ago on the show, and we've been waiting on several big pieces of content to drop for the game for actual years now, and they basically just shadow dropped that massive content update this past week right after the partner showcase, with new wrestlers actually finishing the story mode. So 3 years after I started the game, I can finally finish the game story mode. Nice. New arenas, new moves, new animations. So if you tried that game out, or if you haven't tried it out yet, there's a massive new content update out for a really, really fun arcade-style wrestling game called Retro Mania Wrestling that released this week. In addition to that, the final fighters from Them's Fightin' Herds, the season pass from Them's Fightin' Herds, also came out. Unfortunately, Maximum Entertainment, formerly Modus Games, has laid off the vast majority of main six. So this is going to be the final major content update. They did commit to fixing game breaking bugs or doing any big patches if they are needed. But that game story mode is officially going to be forever unfinished. But if you enjoy the game, the final fighters, officially the final fighters as of right now, ever to be released for the game, just came out this past week as well. So go ahead and check those out.
Nice. Very good. Yeah. Stacked week to notable releases, huge direct, partner showcase, more news to come next week. So we'll be back next week to break down the Pokemon Presents and anything else that happens. But yeah, I think that was a pretty big week.
Yeah. Bandletail also came out too. So that's out as well.
Oh yeah. We forgot to mention that. Bandletail. Yeah. That's that League of Legends farming sim spinoff. Looks cute. Looks cool. I'd like to check that out.
So much stuff released that we almost forgot something like that. A League of Legends game. We almost forgot a League of Legends. But yeah, so much happened this week. We'd love to hear what you guys thought about the Nintendo Partner Direct. What were your most hype announcements? Did you think it was a complete bore? Let us know. Reach out to us on Facebook at All In Podcast, on Twitter at All In Podcast. Make sure if you're watching us here on YouTube that you go ahead and hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, click the bell for notifications, all that good stuff, so you don't miss another video from us here at All In. We're always producing new content. Again, like I said, we're here every Friday doing news roundups of this week in Nintendo news. We're always doing first looks at new games. We've got a new series from the past couple months called QCF that I do every week. There's a ton of content going up each and every week, so make sure that you follow us here on YouTube. But in addition to all of that content, we also produce stuff for our patrons.
That's right. Patreon.com/allinpodcast. Exclusive content goes up there every single week, from video content to multiple exclusive podcasts for our patrons every single week. You can head over to patreon.com/allinpodcast and pop a 7-day free trial to check it out for yourself. and throw a few bones our way for our hard work. That is greatly appreciated. You can also pick up merch at bit.ly/allinmerch, another great way to support the show. And yeah, if you're watching us on YouTube, the likes and subscribes and comments are appreciated. If you're listening to us on podcast feeds, 5-star reviews on your podcatcher of choice are also greatly appreciated. And that is a very easy and free way to support the show. So thank you all for doing that.
I mean, it's free. So, I mean, you should have already done it. And if you haven't done it, you can very easily do it this weekend. You've got nothing else going on aside from the load of games that just came out. But just take a few minutes and give some love to your boys here at All In. And to everybody who's already done that, to all of those awesome patrons we shouted out at the top of the show, to everybody who has picked up a piece of our merch at bit.ly/allinmerch, to everybody who has become a member of our personal partner showcase in our Patreon, to everybody who has even just shared our content around this vast and gloriously terrifying internet of ours, to each and every one of you, we would like to extend a partner showcase week. Namaste.
Namaste. That's news roundup for this week, everybody. Thanks to everybody who came out. Fulia was here. Super Nintendad was here. Pat was in the chat. We also had I Can't See in the chat. Elvith came through. We had a pretty good turnout tonight. And shout out to anybody who tuned in via Twitter as well for the first time broadcasting over there. So very cool. We do, of course, have a proper episode of All In a Nintendo Podcast hitting your podcast feeds tomorrow. We got a good episode tomorrow. We got an indie showcase on Arzette, the Jewel of Faramore, in which I will tell you why it is my current game of the year of 2024. We're doing a top five card-based games on the Nintendo Switch, especially in the week of Pocket Card Jockey and Balatro.
Wonder what made us think of that.
Exactly. And we are doing our full review of Mario versus Donkey Kong on the Nintendo Switch, which that will be not only a segment on the podcast tomorrow, but also drop as a video here on the YouTube channel tomorrow. So lots to look forward to tomorrow from All In. But for myself, for Eric, I hope everybody has a great weekend. Play some good video games. There's plenty to play. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.